It is our biggest export, our most prodigious product, and our greatest legacy, our trash. It's the biggest thing we make. The average American is on track to produce a whopping 102 tons of garbage across a lifetime, $50 billion in squandered riches rolled to the curb each year, more than that produced by any other people in the world. But that trash doesn't just magically disappear. In Garbology, Pulitzer Prize-winning author Edward Humes investigates the trail of that 102 tons of trash, what's in it, how much we pay for it, how we manage to create so much of it, and how some families, communities, and even nations are finding a way back from waste to discover a new kind of prosperity. It's a great pleasure to welcome Edward Humes to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us, sir. I appreciate it.
My pleasure, Joe.
What got you thinking about garbage?
Well, you summed it up very nicely. It is the biggest thing we make, and it's two things, really. It lays at the core of a lot of the big social and economic and energy problems we're facing now. It either causes them, waste does, or exacerbates them. It's kind of a core issue. But the interesting thing about trash and waste is it's the one thing on the environmental front that anybody, you don't need a pack, you don't need a big corporation behind you, anybody can do something to change in their own lifestyles and households. And the bonus is, if you become less wasteful, it turns out that you save money.
You do seem to really grapple with this question of, is there a way back from our disposable economy? And while it may not always be easy or pretty, we can do it.
Well, people are doing it. Businesses are doing it, and communities and around the world, whole countries are doing it. You know, if you compare what Germany does with its waste to what the U.S. does, it's just one of many examples. The real world data, and you won't get this from the government, from the EPA, which supposedly tracks our trash. It's actually much worse than the official statistics. The real data shows we're sending 69% of trash in the U.S. to landfills, and we're only recycling about a quarter, which is much worse than the official statistics suggest. Germany, you know how much they send to the landfill? Zero. They take 66% of their waste, and they manage to find a way to recycle it and do it profitably, and the rest they send to state-of-the-art waste-to-energy plants that are much better than the old-school incinerators. They produce less dioxins are the concern, than your average backyard barbecue, and their carbon footprint is less than a landfill.
I'll throw out one of the questions that I mentioned in the introduction, which is simply, how do we manage to create so much of it? 102 tons.
You know, the waste management industry in the U.S. is the best in the world. They're really good at hiding our trash from us. You know, I start the book with a scene from a reality TV show, Hoarders, about this this couple that's found buried in their home beneath trash that they couldn't escape because they wouldn't throw anything away. And we view that kind of behavior not only as an entertainment, apparently, but as an aberration. But it turns out the amount of trash in their home is exactly what the average American produces. It's not aberrant at all. They just don't hoard it in landfills the way and roll it to the curb every week. They just hold on to it, which, ironically, they've figured out something the rest of us haven't, that stuff we're throwing away actually has tremendous value locked in it. You know, they see it as a treasure. And it turns out it could be a treasure if we could find the ways to reclaim it.
And, of course, as you point out in that analogy with Hoarders, that garbage, even though we put it to the curb, it doesn't just magically disappear. We just don't see it. So how do you make that connection for people so that they understand, so they do maybe not see it, but at least realize?
Well, I guess that was part of the conceit behind writing a book about trash. There has to be a narrative, and there has to be a way back. You know, it's the thing about the way we view our disposable economy, our disposable nation these days, is that we've made the word waste and the concept of it synonymous with trash, which is something that has no value that you just have to get rid of. It's garbage. But the real meaning of waste is it's the physical manifestation of our wastefulness. You know, it means we're getting rid of and losing track of and squandering things that do have value. And that's something that every culture in the history of the human race has understood that thrift was a core basic instinct, and you didn't waste things heedlessly. And now we make instant trash. When we buy something, it comes in all kinds of packaging, and it turns out that that's a quarter of what we're sending to landfills, containers and packaging. We pay for it, and it becomes trash the moment we take it home, and yet it is made out of incredibly durable materials, plastics particularly, that last for hundreds, thousands, or more years, stuff we're intended to throw away immediately. It's almost perverse. So getting people to see the perversity of that by looking at the alternative, which is families that reduce their waste and their packaging and their impulse shopping and focus on purchasing things that have durability and repairability and value, and then they find out their household budgets have gone down 40%, that's a kind of winning formula that I think a lot of people would be interested in learning from.
One of the things that you point out, I think, quite nicely in the book is the consequences of the amount of trash that we produce, of what's happening to oceans and beaches and to our economy and to communities and ultimately the planet. It is a fascinating list of things that our waste contributes to.
Oh, yeah. Well, scientists are still trying to get their head around it and the data around what's happening in our oceans. But the image I use to describe the magnitude of it, the amount of plastic that we throw away and lose track of, that we don't capture in our waste management system, and it ends up in the ocean, is the equivalent of losing 40 super aircraft carriers a year. You know, the biggest ships in the world. They're so big and so expensive, we only have 10 of them in our fleet. But if we're losing the plastic equivalent of them 40 times over every year. And that material, it's not a big floating landfill of big pieces of garbage in the ocean. I mean, although there is some of that, the real danger are these small particles the size of plankton of plastic that creatures in the sea are eating, and it's working its way up into the food chain with unknown but very likely negative consequences for all of us. And that's, you know, the irony of our wasteful economy right now is that we're subsidizing a lot of it. I mean, look at junk mail, 85 billion pieces in 2011. It's more than half of our U.S. mail. Nobody wants it. Yet we're subsidizing it with an artificially low postal rate. I mean, we're literally creating a wasteful stream and paying for it doubly.
You write in the book about how to make us a bit less trashy, and there are many things here, go used and refurbished, no more plastic, grocery bags, focus on cost of ownership, stop buying bottled water, that's a big one.
Yeah, well, you know, there's parts of the world where bottled water is no doubt a life-saving product where pure water supplies are very scant. But the U.S. is blessed with the finest municipal water supplies in the world. We are the envy of the world, where you can get a gallon of pure water and depend on it for under a penny out of your faucet. And here we go buying plastic bottled water encased in instant trash. Most of it, 40 to 50% at least, is tap water anyway with a fancy label on it, and then we're paying for this wasteful product at levels per ounce that exceed what we're now paying for gasoline. It is the most irrational product. We use up approximately one day's entire U.S. consumption of gasoline or fossil fuels shipping that stuff around, bottled water. You know, an entire day's use of our oil is used to move this product that is completely unnecessary. And that's, you know, just one example, not to pick on one particular one, but that's a real standout. And how hard is it to use the water in your home in a reusable container and save the $10 billion we're spending annually on bottled water? We accept that as the norm because we've made it normal, but it's actually a triumph of marketing over common sense.
And the other big one that you mention in your list is simply refusing stuff, refusing to get the catalogs, refusing the promotional keychain that's handed to you at a home show. Refuse the stuff that you don't need.
No, exactly. Well, that's the extra R you add to recycling, reusing, and I learned that from a family up in Northern California, the Johnson family. Bea Johnson kind of has marshaled her household to be less wasteful. And she says, yeah, the biggest thing is refuse. Refuse to, you know, it's so easy to go out and shop at Target with my friends and spend $100, and a week later I can't even figure out what I spent that on. And most of it, you know, it's all so ephemeral. And her family has just sort of taken a new tack and really thinking about what they're expending their resources on and saying, is this going to be an heirloom that we're going to want to hold on to, or is this going to last? And if it breaks, can we repair it? And kind of looking at what things cost throughout their lifetimes rather than the immediate price at the cash register. And it's changed the way they consume. And when you ask those kind of questions, it also changes the way you waste. That family's annual non-recyclable, non-compostable waste profile can fit in a mason jar. And the average American, if you could see all your trash in one place on your front lawn for a year, the average American would have 1.3 tons.
Wow. The name of the book is Garbology, Our Dirty Love Affair with Trash. It is published by Avery. Edward Humes, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for sharing with us this morning. I appreciate it.
Glad to do it, Joe.
Thank you very much. Again, the book, Garbology, Our Dirty Love Affair with Trash, published by Avery. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.